There's just a whole lot of noise.
Blog Talk Radio.
Too much. Let's go back to music.
Jesus, no other name like
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name today, Lord. For this is the day that has made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We bless your name today. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you that our families are complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. And Father God, we thank you for this opportunity and even responsibility to seek your face, learn more about you, oh God. Holy Spirit, open up our understanding and our eyes of our faith. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. Father, reveal yourself to us. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for meeting every man, woman, boy, girl under the sounds of our voices. Meet them at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly above. We thank you for favor in lives in Jesus. And as we go through tonight, Lord, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord, that the memory of the just is blessed. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah.
Amen, thank you, Lord.
Understanding. But in all our ways, we are acknowledging you, Lord, and you will direct our path. We thank you,
thank
Lord.
Thank you,
tonight. We bless your name, O God. And we thank you for spirit and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, we curse you from the root, command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And we praise your name. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. We bless your name. We honor your name tonight. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. We got two people on the line. That's all right. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he's going to be in the midst. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
The Bible told me, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. He's going to be
filled.
Check out a couple of here. And before we get into our lesson on tonight, I have a preference. I need someone to go to Mark 9:24. And when you get there, say amen. I need someone else to go to Philippians 4:8. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I need another amen in the house. That second scripture was Philippians 4:8. Hallelujah. Well, we'll move on. Hallelujah, glory to God. That first scripture. Read that first scripture, please.
Mark 9:24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
Hallelujah. To some, biblical statement means that it has a mixed message and it seems contradictory. But see, that's people looking at that without the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the enemy would want you to think. It's contradictory. But it really isn't. The eye is your heart. In our heart, we know that God can do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We have history. You know, because he's done it before in others' lives. That's your heart. Your mind is the seat of where doubt gets put in. And the enemy's hope is that it trickles down to your heart. But see, we can do something with doubt in your mind. We can have a word bath or word shower. Do you know what a word shower is? Glory to God. We can wash the doubt out of our mind with a word shower. That's Philippians 4:8. Can somebody get that again? Philippians 4:8. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Word shower. Read that, please.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
That's the word shower. See, when we fall in the muddy waters of doubt that's in your mind, you take a word shower. You don't want to walk around with mud on your clothes and on yourself. Is that right?
Right.
You want to change clothes. You want to take a bath or take a shower. This is a word shower for your mind. Hallelujah. Because when you begin to pray, the enemy don't like for you to communicate with God. He's going to put doubt in your mind and hope that it seeps down to your heart. That's the eye. That's what the brother said in Mark 9:24. I believe. In my heart, I believe. But help my mind. That doubt in my mind. But the devil is a liar.
Yes.
Fill your mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Take that word shower, that word bath. I just needed to share that with you. Hopefully you get a hold of that in your prayer. And we've been dealing with the 9 types of prayer. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue. We're going to do 2 of them tonight. You're going to do the prayer of prayer petition and the prayer of agreement. In between the audio on those, we're going to have 5-10 minutes of questions, answers, and comments. I think, do we have a timekeeper? Pastor Peaches, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
At the end of the one, we're going to have 5 to 10 minutes of questions, answers, and comments. And be cognizant. Get your pen ready because you know he's going to give you some scriptures. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called prayer of petition. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called prayer of petition. In yesterday's teaching, we started to talk about the different types of prayer, and we listed 9 types of prayer that we're going to be going over within the next 10 days. That'll be this week and next week. Today, we're going to be starting with what's referred to or known as the prayer of petition. I will also tell you that sometimes this is also referred to as the prayer of faith. This is a specific prayer that is shown to us in the Word that brings specific results. One of the things we talked about previously is that when people turn around and pray and they don't get the results that they're looking for, sometimes it's because they're not praying in the correct way. Now, yes, there are times, and it tells us specifically in God's Word, that when we pray, when it lines up according to God's will, He answers or hears our prayers. But I will tell you that other times, just because your prayers are not being answered in the manner in which you'd like or with the response or quickness per se that maybe you'd hope for, that sometimes it's based on the fact that you're not praying correctly. Now, I'm not going to tell you that by praying this prayer, things are going to happen like that. The fact is we have another teaching we did back in the past. And what we talked about was that if it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. I'm going to say that again, because when the Lord told me that statement, I felt it was a profound statement that He needed His people to hear. When we pray for something, it should also be worth waiting for it. If it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. So today we're going to talk about the prayer petition. Now, we talked about previously that there are rules to prayer or how prayer operates and works. And we're going to be covering 9 specific prayer topics, but we're going to be starting with this one today, which is the prayer petition or prayer of faith. First question that's usually asked is, what is a prayer petition? Well, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to show you later specifically exactly how to do it, but this is a prayer where you find a promise in God's word that meets or speaks to your situation you're going through or the need or want that you have, and you turn around and you present it back to God. And there's a specific manner or rules, I should say, how you do it, but we're going to teach you exactly how that's done. Some key things to know about this type of prayer and all the prayers you do, but specifically this one especially. I shouldn't say specific, but especially this one. When we pray, we're to ask God once, and then we believe and thank him. This is not something that you pray over and over and over. This is something that you pray for once, and then you thank him, and you believe for it, and you thank him. And you thank him continually until what you have prayed for has manifested in the physical or in the natural. The other thing I want to tell you, and I heard this spoken by a gentleman who I consider to be a spiritual uncle in the faith. His name is Jerry Savelle. And I heard him teach on this years ago. In fact, he has a great book on the prayer petition. He has great resources on it. And one of the things that he talked about was that this is the quickest way to receive an answer to prayer that he has found over his lifetime. I think he's been in ministry for like 40 years. I may have that wrong. It might be a little, it may be longer, it may be less, but I think it's at least like 40 years. This is a gentleman who started very early on with Kenneth Copeland and his ministries. My wife and I are blessed to watch them. We try to make it to the Southwest Believers Convention every year in Fort Worth. And these are people that we go out of our way to listen to because they sow so much into us when they speak. And when I heard him speak about this years ago, I was like, prayer petition? What is that? And man, I grabbed onto that, and I will tell you that I've used it more than once. A prayer petition is when you go before the Lord again and present God's promises to him. Now, we're going to jump right into this, and so I want to get right into the word, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can write down, and of course, you can go back and pause it or rewind it, do whatever you need to with this video, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, and these are scriptures that you should mark down and keep in your prayer journals and hang on to throughout the course of our 2 weeks, but also going forward. The verses I want to read to you are these, and they should pop up on the screen for you. You need to mark down, or I would recommend you mark down Mark 11:24. John 16:23 through 24, 1 John 5:14 through 15, 2 Corinthians 1:20, Philippians 4:19, and then the last three actually talk about what the prayer of faith is or the prayer petition. That's James 5:15, Philippians 4:6, and Colossians 4:2. So that being said, let's jump right into the word. The first 5 scriptures we're going to read are what I call bedrock or foundational scriptures. These are scriptures that help build confidence so that when you go and pray before God, you know that you have the confidence or the ability that you've been given the spiritual legal access or right to pray before him. Let's get right into it. The first one we're going to read is Mark 11:24. It says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." John 16:23 through 24. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And that particular verse, that was Jesus talking to his disciples, and he was with them. So he had told them that at that point they hadn't had to ask anything. They haven't had to ask anything in his name up to that point because he was with them. But he was telling them that when he went on to be with the Father, that anything they asked the Father in his name would be given to them and that their joy would be full and it would be complete. Let's continue reading. The next one is First John 5, 14 through 15. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have received what we asked of him. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. It says in the scripture that when we ask anything according to his will, one of the things I've taught in other prayer sessions is that sometimes why people are not getting their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying about the right thing. Before you go into prayer, sometimes you have to ask God, what is it you need me to seek you or pray for? And then you can get what it is you're hoping to receive. That's a real key important thing. I want to make that known. Let's keep on reading. We're going to go right on to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. This is where you hear the scripture, all his promises are yes and amen. In fact, there's a great song out there. One of the songs I like to sing when I'm in my praise and worship time before the Lord is by Bethel Music, and it's yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. I know what you're thinking. I should jump on The Voice because I sing so good. But yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. Next scripture, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs. Everybody say all. All your needs according to his glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the next three scriptures we're going to cover, these actually talk and mention about the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition, and I want to read them to you. The first one's James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, what I told you earlier is that a prayer, a petition, or prayer of faith is finding a promise in God's word, and you are going to present that back to him. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. But it says right here in God's word in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. It also said that their sins would be forgiven. If you are sick or you know anyone who's sick, this is a direct promise from God, a direct spiritual law, a promise from God that states that the prayer of faith would save the sick, meaning all you have to do is find at least just one scripture. You don't need bunches, but you need at least one scripture that says that God has promised to heal you, and you present it back to him in a prayer of faith or prayer petition along with James 5, and you simply say, you promised me that the prayer of faith would save the sick. So I'm presenting my prayer petition or my prayer of faith back to you. Healing is a guarantee from God. It's guaranteed from God to receive healing. That's what we can do, and if we stand on his word. But sometimes people don't receive healing. Why is that? Well, we'll talk about that in other teachings, but I will tell you that when someone doesn't receive a healing, it's not because God didn't want to heal them. It's not because God couldn't heal them. It actually has to do with their ability to receive, not God's ability to perform. Let's keep on reading. The next one's Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're going to come back to that in a second, but I want to read you one more. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So you're going to continue steadfastly in prayer after you've prayed the prayer of faith or prayer petition, and you're going to be watchful in it. In other words, you're going to keep it in front of you. Habakkuk 2:2 says to write the vision and make it plain. When we write a prayer petition, we're keeping it plain and we're keeping it in front of us. We're not continuing to pray it over and over, but we're being watchful over it so we know what to expect because we're not forgetting what we prayed about. And we're in thanksgiving constantly. We're constantly thanking the Lord in faith that we received it. Now let's go back to Philippians 4:6. I'm going to tell you how to write a prayer petition. It says, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, say everything, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he gave us three things. He said, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here is how you write a prayer petition. And I'm going to tell you that, like I said, I heard Jerry Savelle say it, and I believe it with him. This is the quickest way to see results to prayer within your life. I've also heard other pastors talk about it as well, and I'm telling you it's important. A prayer petition is simply this. It's when you take out a piece of paper, or you type something up and print it out to sign, or you turn around and you get a note card or something like that. I know the pastor where I go to church at, he turns around and he talks about this, and he has some great examples about this, where he's taking a note card and he writes it. And what I'm going to tell you about that, his name is Dr. Theo Womerenz. If you want to know who he is, he's from Christian Family Church, And it's Dr. Theo Womerant's great, great man of God. So this is what you do. You turn around and you take your paper or you type it up or your card. And what you do, and you take time on this. You don't just whip this out. You take time on this. You write out specifically the prayer you are asking God, whatever need it is you have, whatever desire, because it doesn't just have to be needs. I mean, maybe you've been really desiring that new Harley-Davidson motorcycle, you know, the Harley-Davidson motorcycle that you can go fellowship with God on, because that's just a desire of your heart. That's okay to put on this, okay? Maybe it's a new home. Maybe it's your kids going to private school. You know, maybe it's getting into college or going back to school or, you know, that raise at your job. But that, whatever it is, you take your petition and you write it down. You write out your prayer. And then you find scriptures that go with it, and you mark those scriptures down. It's the promises of God that you're marking that says you can have that above. Now, if you're like, well, I'm believing my college tuition's paid, but I don't see where it says college tuition paid in the Bible, find the scripture that talks about that. I mean, you could put something like, you know, my father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Paying college tuition is no big deal for him. It's a drop in the bucket. I mean, you could put down whatever you want. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. I mean, you just put find a promise in God's word and write it down. So you write your prayer out. Your petition of what it is, this is your petition, you're building your petition. You write your prayer out, what it is your need or desire that you want or, you know, whatever it is. You then turn around and you write the scripture to go with it. You date it and you sign it. And you go before God and you present it before him. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that the words that we speak, the words that God has spoken, cannot return to him void. They have to accomplish exactly what he said they would accomplish. So you turn around and based on Philippians 4:6 or James 5:15, you take that prayer petition and you present it back to him and you say, Father God, and you pray over it. You say, this is my prayer that you meet this need or that you meet this want, desire, whatever it is. And I'm standing on your prayer principle, your promise principle, that your promises state in the word that you've already provided this for me. And you present those promises back to him. And you say, and now I've asked you on this date, I signed it, and I'm going to keep it in front of me. And now that I have asked, I believe that I've received, and I'm going to thank you therefore. And that is how you write a prayer petition or a prayer of faith. And then you keep that paper that you wrote, whether it's a notebook or whatever, or the thing that you typed up on the computer and then dated and signed it, or whether if it's a little note card or flash card that you keep in your wallet or your purse or on your mirror, wherever you keep it, at your desk at work, whatever. But you turn around, I will tell you, this isn't something you share with others. It's something you keep private. And then you turn around, and you be watchful over that, just like it talks about in Colossians 4:2. You be watchful over that, and you stay in thanksgiving until what's on that card manifests in the natural. And you believe that when you pray over it, you've already received it. You can't turn around and just be kind of lobbing a prayer like, I think I've got this. You have to know that you know that based on his promises, you've already received what you've written down. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teaching resources. You can stream them 24 hours a day from our website. We also invite you to connect with us on our social media, on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or on Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Okay, 729. Questions?
Can you go over those Bible verses again?
All of them or just the ones of faith? From the top?
Yeah.
Mark 11:24 is the 24. First one.
John 16:23-24, 1 Corinthians 1:20, Philippians 4:19, James 5:15. Philippians 4:16, 4:6. Okay, that's what I got. Colossians 4:2.
Uh-huh.
That's the last one I have on that one. Oh, and then he mentioned, I don't know if he wanted to just write this one down. Isaiah 55:11.
Yes, he did mention that, yes.
He mentioned.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Pastor Peter, if I may, that sounds like a preacher I know that gives you a whole lot of scripture. He's standing on the word.
Sure.
Anyway, any questions?
I think the more scripture, the more clarity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to share this with you to remind me on Sunday to give out index cards so we can do our prayer of petition.
A petition,
and it's not
yes.
what you pass around. It's for you personally because what you uh-huh. may be real personal, but you, as he prescribed the promise on there and the script
yeah.
that coincides, you know, as he was sharing, you know, what jumped in my spirit was Isaiah 43:26, bring me into remembrance, you know.
Praise God.
And so I thought about that as he was sharing, but. You know, put the request, the petition, and then the scriptures that go along with that, and then sign your name and date
yes.
it. And you take that home and you put it on your mirror or wherever you keep stuff. I think it's good to if you fold it and put it in your wallet, you're gonna be like Lasso, forget that it's in there, but put it on your mirror or on a door. In your house or on the refrigerator door or something, so you can't miss it. And as he says, you ask once, but you thank him over and over again until.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. It feels like the more specific you are and the more direct, and you just stay on it, you're acting. In your not hoping, but in your, you know, just standing on it firmly. So I'm thinking anything that you want, you don't just say you want a car. You want a specific car, what color it is, and
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Detail it.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
All right. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Any more comments?
And I think, I've always told people, God is a God of specifics. So therefore, just like you said, you know, when you ask him for a car, you don't just say, okay, God, I want a car. Okay, send you a box on four wheels. If it's going to get you from point A to point B, it's going to be a car. But are you going to be ashamed when you pull up in front of the church or ashamed when you pull up at the red light with your friends? I mean, you know, beside somebody?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want something that you're going to be ashamed of. You want something you want to be proud of and say, God bless me with this. And also, therefore, being exact, he is able to give you exactly what you want plus some. So name what you want. Being specific. He is a God of specifics because he can do it. He can mm-hmm. bless you with the red car that you want with flashing lights and all this stuff. So tell him. He's the one who's going to give it to you. So why not ask him for the specific thing that you want? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Yes, he's going to give you what you want plus some.
And there's one thing he said very important for you to remember. If what's praying for is what's waiting for.
Waiting for, yes.
And even though Cecil B. DeMille, you know, it talks about, you know, the water opened up, the Red Sea opened up, and they just went on and walked across. the Bible says that the wind blew all night long to dry that grass.
Amen.
So sometimes it's going to take a while. But you don't stop thanking him for it.
That's right. That's
right. You know he's able to do it. That's in your heart. Your head may be trying to doubt, but you watch. Now you understand what I said about taking a word bath or a word shower. To get the doubt out of your head, out of your mind, because they want to seep down into your spirit, into your heart. But we don't want that. So we got to wash it away immediately with the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
If I want to say, Pastor, sometimes Christians think they're scared to ask for the mink coat. I'll just take a fabric coat because that's being meek and lowly. But I was taught God's children are to wear the best, eat the best, drive the best, and live in the best. So dream outside those boundaries, knowing that he's got everything and he wants to bless you. So why not go for the gusto? Go for that big house. Why are you on a little barn on the inner street? No, go for it. He wants you to have that. You have one life
right.
to live. And he said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly.
More abundantly.
That's right.
People have what they call false humility. They think that some way simple to ask for the best. But in God's word, he said, I want you to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He wants you to have the best.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any more comments or any questions anyone has on this?
I do have a comment. I know God is faithful to his word. His word is never, ever, ever coming back to him void. And his arm is not too short that he can't deliver us. God does want us to have the best. But you
Amen.
Know what I found? Prayer is very powerful. And when you are an object of God and you're obedient, you're his disciple, and you are filled with the word and you know to pray the prayer of petition as the gentleman was teaching us tonight, God can answer you. And I learned this is personal. This is really a personal testimony. I asked God to bless me. And I gained wisdom. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm asking you to pour this blessing out and give me specifically what I want. If you gave me that, I would have fell out. I did not have everything in order to see what I was asking him for, but was not smart enough to know that. You understand what I'm saying?
Hmm. Yes.
You know, one of the things that
you don't even have everything you need for me to do that. You're not ready for that. So that's something to consider. That's why I mentioned it to you.
Perfect. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we as Christians it's been taught in us, and we have to reprogram ourselves. We've taught a long time, but you do this for God, you do this, and that in the name of the Lord. And don't expect anything back. Have you heard somebody say that?
That's
not what God.
Yes, I've heard that.
No, it isn't.
That's
been drummed into us. I expect God to do just what he said he's going to do. You understand
that's
what
right.
I mean?
Amen.
I expect him to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Hallelujah. And
that's
the
right.
devil is a liar. And we've been
Amen.
Stuff, and we have to get that. We got to wash our minds away from that stuff. But God is
Amen.
exceeding abundantly above.
Wow.
From Mount Zion. He said, I come to have it more abundantly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now people perish because of lack of knowledge.
False humility was a way that people kind of played on the saints a little bit.
Yes.
They kind of how you what do they call it? Where you do a bet and you put it on a lot of things and you kind of hope that something pans out, but you kind of leave the door open a little bit just in case it don't. That settles it.
That's out and out.
It's worth it. I'm not gonna stand on my thinking about it, on the human thought about it. The God's people be still in Egypt, maybe in the desert or someplace, if Moses didn't stand on the word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And
be all in, all out.
God opened up the Red Sea. They'd be still back there in Egypt. Somebody
thank you, Jesus.
God's word.
Thank you, Jesus.
About the bird, you said it.
I tell God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Is that 10 minutes gone?
He's enjoying the word.
729, 29, 30,
741. 29, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, sir.
Let me help. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay, here's the next one. It might be a commercial coming up first. I got to clear that out.
Thank God for the word.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the fourth type, isn't it, teacher? Uh-huh. This is the fourth type of prayer, right?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Ray, and I want to welcome you to today's episode.
This is the fourth one.
Our series on the type of. And today we're covering the prayer of agreement. Get ready.
The second type of prayer.
Where did you go?
It's buffering. This is the second type of prayer. Okay.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called prayer of agreement. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called prayer of agreement. This week and next week, we're going over different types of prayer, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. In yesterday's teaching, we covered the prayer of petition, or what is sometimes referred to as the prayer of faith, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. So let's just jump right in and see what it is. The first question we have is, what is a prayer of agreement? A prayer of agreement is often touted within churches where they'll say that, you know, when two or more of you stand in agreement with each other, something shall be done for you or you shall receive it. But how do we do that? Mm-hmm. How do we back that up in Scripture, and what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you didn't watch yesterday's teaching, I encourage you either after this teaching or now, go back and watch it and then come back to this one, but you do need to watch it. And the reason why, a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. The only difference is that when you're saying a prayer of faith, it's only one person who's praying it. When you say a prayer of agreement, you have two or more people standing in agreement on a prayer of faith. So a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. It's just that two or more people are standing in agreement on it. That being said, there's a couple things you need to know. The first one is that when you're praying a prayer of agreement, before you go to pray it, everyone who's praying must be in complete agreement. I will also tell you that this is not united prayer or corporate prayer. We'll be covering that next week. But this is a prayer usually among two to three people. Now, yes, it can be more than that, but usually you limit it to two to three people. And then I'll explain reasons on united prayer and corporate prayer why that is. But typically we want to limit this to just a couple people. Now, when you pray a prayer of agreement, what you're basically doing is a prayer of faith is where you find a promise within God's word that you stand upon that directly speaks or can be applied to your specific situation. And when you do that, you turn around and you get two or more people to stand in agreement with you. But you must be in agreement beforehand, not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the answer and the desired outcome. And then once you make that prayer of faith or prayer of agreement made before the Lord.
I need to stop that so you can understand. You don't focus on the problem. You focus on the solution.
Amen.
Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution.
Amen.
You present yourself before the Lord. Those two or more people stay standing in agreement until it has manifested or come to pass, until the answer has manifested or come to pass. The reason why it's important with two or more people is sometimes you might have one person feeling a little down or maybe feeling a little beat up, and that's where your prayer partner comes in to help and encourage you. If you are doing a prayer of agreement with someone and you begin to doubt, now not doubt in your heart, but doubt in your head about whether it's going to happen or it'll be answered, you're to reach out directly to your prayer partner immediately for encouragement. When you reach out to them, it's very important that you don't elaborate on why you're down or don't elaborate on the doubt that's circling within your mind, because you don't want to negatively impact them, and then you both start lining up in agreement on doubt that you don't want to do. What you're simply doing is as accountability, you're contacting the other person who's praying with you or people, and you simply say, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to boost me up. I need you to lift me up. Let's do some prayer on this. And let them go ahead and minister to you. And as they minister to you, you'll find that you'll bounce back quickly. Whatever doubt was trying to impede you or trying to jump in your mind is now gone, and you're back on track. Now, also keep in mind that there's a difference between doubting in our minds and doubting in our hearts. There are times that you're going to have thoughts that come in your mind where you may doubt the outcome or doubt whether you're going to receive what you prayed about. But to doubt in your mind is not the same thing as to doubt in your heart. To doubt in your heart means you doubt that the Lord is capable of providing that for you, and that's when you lose the blessing or what you're believing for. To doubt in your mind, you have to deal with it. It's okay if doubt comes in, but you must wash your mind with the Word of God and send it right back out. That being said, if you have a doubt in your mind, don't be concerned that you've lost what you're believing for. It's just a quick moment of doubt, but you refresh yourself on what you're believing for and what you're standing on, and you wash yourself clean by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. It tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And when you do that, that doubt will leave. That doesn't mean you've lost what you're believing for. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to go ahead and read you some scriptures, and we're going to jump right into this on what the prayer of agreement is. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. In this scripture, it gives us a couple different things. The first thing, it talks about binding, binding in heaven and binding on earth. It also talks about how you have the ability to go before the Father, and anything you ask in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, he will not deny you. He will give you. In other words, meaning that when you pray, you need to believe that you've received. If you don't receive, it's because either your prayer doesn't line up with the will of God, you're praying something false, okay, or you're not believing that God is capable of already providing it for you. That's not something he has to do in the future. It's something he's already done. You may not receive it until the future, but the moment you pray, you believe that he's already provided it for you. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, that is when it was provided for you. You just have to call it into the now. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, at that moment, that's where every prayer you'll ever need to pray has been answered. All you need to do is call it into the now. In other words, you need to call it out of the past and you need to call it in to the present. You need to call it into the now by faith. Now, that being said, when we talk about that, one of the things that we go over is that the other responsibility it said, other than binding, is also said that where two or more of you gather in my name, I shall be in your midst. You know, one of the things we talked about before were the names of God. And one of the names of God I talked about was Jehovah Shammah. I am the Lord who's there. When I'm doing the prayer of agreement with someone, I almost always turn around and exalt God as Jehovah Shammah, that he's the God who's there over that situation. I am bringing him into remembrance over his word, and then I declare this word that you said, Father, wherever two or more of us gather in your name, there you shall be in the midst. Now, one thing to know, it tells us in the word that you've been given the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth. But I will tell you this, if you read that scripture carefully, nowhere does it say that God will do the binding. The binding is your responsibility. He has given you the spiritual authority to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. But if the devil is running rampant within your life, if the enemy is attacking you rampantly within your life, and you're waiting for God to come down and bind them for you, you're going to be waiting for a while. Not because God's not capable of it, but because that's not God's role, that's your role. He has given you the ability, the authority of the believer to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. Now, some people might say, but I'm scared of the devil, or what about the devil? There's no reason to be. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures to reinforce what I'm telling you. The first one I want you to turn to is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When he talks about giving us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, those also have spiritual references to the enemy or demonic forces. He's given us authority to trample on. He tells us that he's given us power over all the enemy. So, and over all the power of the enemy, meaning that, yeah, the enemy has power, but you've been given more power that you,
amen,
God's power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Leverage it is with the name of Jesus, and you leverage it over that. I were teaching on the armor of God, which we talked about before. One of the armor things in the armor of God is you have several things of protection, but you have one weapon, and your one weapon's a sword. The sword is the word of God, and that's what that's talking about right there. You've been given power and authority over the power of the enemy, and you've been given authority to trample on scorpions and on serpents. Let's go ahead and keep reading. What I want to read to you next are a couple of scriptures that reinforce the power of agreement. The first one is James 5:14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and their prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, in yesterday's teaching on the prayer of petition or prayer of faith, I was talking about how you have the ability to pray that on your own by finding a scripture in the Word that promises your healing and stand in agreement on that with the Lord that you have received your healing. This is a reinforcing prayer. There are four different ways for a person to receive a healing, and although we're not going to go over all of them, the first and main one is by standing on a promise of God, which is what we taught you yesterday with the prayer petition. The second way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you. And when you turn around and do that, and actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. That's actually the third way. I'll give you all four. So the first way is by standing on scripture and standing on God's promises with a prayer petition that you've received your healing. The second way is going before friends or family members and asking them to stand in agreement with you on those scriptures, which is what we're talking about today, which is a prayer of agreement. A third way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you, which is also a part of the prayer of agreement. And then in addition to that, your fourth way is when you have someone who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they operate in the gifts of healing, and if God prompts them to, that they pray over you and release the healing into you. And they don't even have to be in the same city with you or same state. It can be long distance because there's no distance within the spiritual realm within God's kingdom. Now, that being said, this scripture right here reinforces that you can either pray the prayer petition for your own healing, or if you're struggling in the area of faith and you waver at times, then you need to find someone to stand in agreement with you, whether it be a friend or family member or the elders of your church. But these have to be people that remember before you pray, you've already come into agreement, full agreement of what the outcome of that prayer is going to be. Now, the next one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Let's read. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Let's skip down to verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some translations talk about it's not easily broken. So here's how you pray a prayer of agreement. The first thing to remember is a prayer of agreement is the same thing as a prayer of faith. You're finding a promise in God's word that you're standing on, and you're turning around, and with a prayer of agreement, you're coming into full agreement for what the outcome is going to be. The one thing I want to caution you on or remind you of is you're not to magnify the problem. Don't tell God about how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. When you pray a prayer of agreement, you are not to talk about the problem or to pray about the problem. You're to pray about the answer. A very quick example of that would be, let's say you're in great financial distress. And great can be different for different people, okay? But let's say you're in great financial distress. Let's say, for example, you've fallen behind on your home payment, and let's say you're 4 or 5 months behind on it, and you need, let's just say, $6,000 quick. You don't turn around and pray about the problem, about what's going on and that you're getting ready to get foreclosed on or kicked out of your house. You pray about the answer. You turn around and you find a scripture that supports what you're believing for, and that you supports what God said he would do for you, and then you take the prayer to him, and you pray it, and you turn around and are very specific. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say many times that vague goals produce vague results. I will tell you in leadership, I repeat that often, but I say vague plans produce vague results. Vague communication produces vague results, okay? A vague prayer will produce a vague result. You need to be specific about what you're believing for. You need to turn around and say that if it's $6,000 you need for it to get you, then you need to pray for that. But be mindful. You're going to have a payment coming up the following month. So don't just pray for what you need at that moment. Think about ahead of time. But here's what you say. But you need to pray based on what your faith can believe for. And your faith will grow at different times, so you'll be able to believe for larger things. But that's why the prayer of agreement is beneficial. Because whoever you're praying with, if they're built up, and you need to ask the Lord who to ask for prayer of agreement, because if you find someone who's very built up in healing, but they're not built up in finances, then they can help you with the prayer of agreement, but it may not be as powerful as someone who's very built up in that area. So let the Lord lead you. You know, I heard Keith Moore, my spiritual father in the faith, say one time, what's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led. The answer to 1,000 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. So you turn around, you go get someone, you get an agreement, you specifically say ahead of time what you're for and the desired outcome. You do that, you turn around and present the word back to God and his promise, and you're very specific about what you're praying for. And the moment you're done, you believe, you rejoice, and you thank God, and you continually stay in thanks until it's manifested within the natural. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media and connect with us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are feeding you, all I ask is that you turn around and share them with others. Why? Not to magnify me, but let's get this word to others so we can start to help them out. Guys, I want to thank you for turning around and stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Let me just share this before we begin our discussion, is that all the scriptures concerning petition or faith is applicable for the prayer of agreement. And the prayer of agreement, one of the significant things he says, number one, you don't go to somebody that lacks faith, or their faith is...
Amen.
You go to somebody that has their faith has muscles on it, okay? And he said something that was really significant, that there may be a person that has great faith for healing, but you need a financial blessing. You go to the brother that has great faith for financial blessing. So you
because
somebody that may have faith for a healing doesn't have the same level of faith for finance. So you got to be led by the Spirit. The answer to 1,000 questions, be led. Pastor Peters, pay attention to that. That might be a question I may ask you one day. The answer to 1,000 questions, be led.
Good.
Okay. Doors open. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Any questions? I know the scriptures. Can you give the scriptures, the additional scriptures? Pastor Peters.
You said, did I get them or can I give them?
Can you give them?
Matthew 18:18-20.
Uh-huh.
James 4:7. Luke 10:19. James 5:14-15. Ecclesiastes 4:9-11.
He went down to 12.
Oh, I thought
he said. Okay, then 12.
Okay. And,
he said 9 to 10, and then he added just the verse 12.
Okay. 9 to 10, and then he skipped to 12. Okay, also, let me reiterate, the scriptures that he gave for the prayer of petition of faith are applicable for the prayer of agreement. So you can those 8 scriptures can go along with, I don't know how many scriptures he gave.
Right.
But this is good stuff. So, all right, the floor is open for you, Sarah. A question?
I had a question. The four ways to receive healing. One was stand on the word, go to a friend to stand with you. 3, ask elders of the church to stand with you. And 4, I could not get.
Four is via the Holy Spirit, the gifts of miracle. Find somebody who has
that gift,
or who's the unction of the Holy
Spirit. Healing.
In other words, the four types. By yourself, find the scripture, and then it's the prayer of agreement. Then it's the elders of the church, and then it's to find somebody who's posed in the gifts of healing in the area that you need healing.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that the gifts of healing, that's plural. There's some folks that have are blessed with the gifts of healing in the area of finance. There's some that are in the gifts of healing as far as physical. There's some that flow in the gifts of healing as far as spiritual. You have to identify, God, you just ask God to lead you to the right folk. But those are four areas of healing. That was a good question. Hallelujah. Because a lot of people now think that the only way you can get healing is to go to the elders of the church. That's not correct. That's one.
Amen.
That's one way. That's not the only way. All right. Thank you for that question. Anyone else? Question, anyone?
I'll say, well, it's good to know how to stand on the word, because what if you don't have a phone and you don't have a way to get to an elder? You got to be able to call on the name of Jesus and stand on his word for yourself.
Find the scripture that addresses your situation. And again, what I was saying, focus in on the solution.
That's right, not the problem.
The problem, the solution. Tell your problem how big your God is. focusing on the solution. And that, as he says, you know, you owe $6,000, but you got a payment due next month. You might want to double that. But Lord, thank you for $12,000. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. 3 John 1 and 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper." And thank you, Jesus. I thank you for prospering my soul. I thank you, Lord, for my body coming in line with your word. And I thank you, Lord, for prosperity. Yes.
Amen.
On the word of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, he shared that's what I was sharing in the preface about where the doubt is, you know, doubt in your mind. Wash your mind with the word of God. Get that out immediately.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But in your heart, hallelujah, you know that God can do it. Your mind will say, well, is he going to do it for me? You know, he's done it for this one and that one and the other. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. You got to wash that out. Because that's doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the devil, I doubt your doubt. And wash that doubt out with the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Any questions, comments? Any questions or comments?
Mm-mm. Good.
You know, thank you, Jesus. We're going to do two next week, too. But, you know, people who tell me, you know, they love the Lord and they want to learn as much as they can, but they have capacity. Because some people are working. They can't come to Bible study. I mean, you know, and some folks don't have a car. But we do Bible study virtually. You know,
amen.
A schedule. A lot of people, they like a leaf on the ocean. Wherever the flow, that's the way they go. You know, you got to have a schedule so that you can achieve what God wants you to achieve. He said, I want you to press toward the mark for the prize of calling God in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be successful. But you can't if you don't learn his word. We learn in his word. Whether any of y'all learning, I'm learning the God.
Amen.
Word. Y'all just don't know. I thank God I'm a student of his word. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just thank
you. But Pastor, also, I feel the more we learn, the better we can operate in everyday life. First, it gives us the confidence that we can tell somebody that else what we have learned. And it just blows up. I mean, it's one brick on top of the other, and then you end up being a stable institution, and you can go forth more powerfully so. And each one of us are a finger. When we come together and make a fist, we are a powerful blow.
That's what you shared is so real. Some of the things like the three keys to the seven pillars of wisdom, and then the five levels of law. You know, if folks in the world dealt with that, they will find success. Don't take what's not yours. Don't say
that's right.
True. Don't do anything
that's not true.
And then the seven pillars of wisdom.
That's right.
Through all that, have a coachable, teachable spirit. All of that.
That's right. To piggyback on each other.
But they have to choose to do that. Some folks just want to do
right.
What they feel like doing. They want to be laissez-faire. You know, I've had people tell me they support us, but I say how. You know, how are you supporting us? Are you at Bible study? Because that's support. Because we want anointing to be there. Hallelujah. People will, you know, talk is cheap. And a lot of people filibuster. Because they've been in church a little while, and so they've heard a lot of stuff. So they regurgitate a lot of stuff. But it ain't deep.
Mm.
It ain't real deep.
This yes. Is, amen.
This is long time.
Amen.
See, I was told many years ago that you can only go so far as the level of the water that you're in. So if you're in shallow water, you're going to be shallow. And a lot of folks are shallow. Now, I'm going to tell you, this ministry here is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ain't shallow. Ain't nothing shallow about us at all. We deep. We out.
No way.
We so deep. Sometimes I need to get somebody to throw me a life preserver. We out. But we know that
go out to the one-on.
But we want to have confidence in knowing what we know. Not because
amen.
We heard somebody say something. Because a lot of times what people say we heard in church ain't real. Do for God, but don't expect nothing in return. That's a lie from the pit. If you make one step, he'll make two. Ain't in the Bible. He reigns on the just and the unjust. That's true. That's in there. But
amen.
I'm from Missouri. Don't tell me, show me. Some of these folks, they doubt the Thomas. I wasn't there, so I don't know. I just don't believe God's word. I'm a stand on this.
Yes, amen.
Any more comments or questions? Go ahead.
I'm just going. Since you brought that up, I was thinking about in the garden. Didn't this serpent misquote the word of God to Eve? It was close, but it was not exact. And that's confusion.
See, here's the sad thing about it. God didn't even talk to Eve. God talked to Adam, told him. See, that God did not tell Adam, don't touch the tree. She could have climbed up the tree. She could have swung on the branches. Because he didn't say not to do that. He just said, don't eat the fruit. But when he had a conversation with the devil, you don't have no conversations with the devil. You tell the devil where to go. I'm almost shocked out of that. But you rebuke him, bind him, and kick him out. He evict him. He said, God said, don't eat it and don't even touch it. He did not. That was a lie. He did not say. Plus, he wasn't even talking to you.
And he's talking to him.
Now, I surmise that Adam was trying to protect his wife. And Adam might have told him, don't even touch the tree. Look, we got 10,000 trees in our garden. There's one in the middle. Don't even touch it. Don't go near it. Just stay away from it. Adam might have
told him.
That's not in the word. I'm surmising. That's not in the word. But God.
Somebody was hard-headed.
We got to be then, y'all. That's all I got.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Real and real. He's making himself real to us. And we're being authentic.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I can say about folk in this church is that we're authentic. If we're not there, we on our way. Glory to God. You understand?
That's right. Amen. We're on our way.
We're not, sometimes when folks say holding on, you know, it's like I kind of get a negative feeling about holding on. And now, if you say pressing on, I like that because the Bible says to press. But hold on seems to say that you're in one spot. And you just we got to keep moving. You got to stay with God.
Amen.
Time's winding up. God's showing signs and wonders, all that kind of good stuff. You got to. Ain't no time to play games with God.
For sure ain't.
Because you ain't fooling God. You're fooling yourself thinking that you're holy because you know through scriptures. Or you, holiness is a life.
Like, yeah.
Find yourself when you follow what God is doing. Hallelujah. Follow what God is showing you. And when God shows you and you don't have a coachable, teachable spirit and you still do your own thing, and then you want to tell somebody that you're on fire for the Lord, That's one of those bushes that burnt up. It ain't the bush that didn't burn. I think that bush is burning up. Lord Jesus.
Okay, so we're choosing to be on one accord and in unity.
We got to be on the same page. You ain't on the same page.
Yes.
Problem with that picture, because two can't walk together unless they agree. And I
unless
agree.
They agree.
Standing on the word, y'all.
The word. That's what the word says. God didn't say it. I ain't saying it either.
I'll leave. But anyway, go ahead, Mike. I didn't know we had so much. God. I'm going to say we could have done three. No, we're not going to try to do three in one day. But is anybody getting anything out of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cause
very good.
We want
a greater understanding.
We want. I want to grow so I can glow.
Yes.
So you can glow. Hallelujah. And people will see the difference in you, and not by what you say, although what you say is important. But people pay attention to 10 to 15% of what you say, but 85 to 90% of what you do. That's what they look
like. Amen.
I'm a Christian. I support you. So I'm trying to find the 85. If I don't get 85 or 90%, you ain't on the same page with me.
And Pastor, I'm realizing that as we study to show ourselves approved, God has nuggets of knowledge that will take you deeper, deep and wide, which keeps you more, your roots, you know, more grounded.
Yes.
And you just keep building on that.
Because
God has secrets, but he's not going to give it to anybody who's not studying.
Come on now. You said a mouthful there. See, knowledge is information. True knowledge is what God says. Now, standing is understanding the revealed knowledge. And then wisdom is the application of the understood knowledge. And that's what we get when we study the Word of God. When we understand,
amen,
then we can walk out with wisdom. We can put wisdom, hallelujah, glory to God, in what we do in our homes, in our, on our jobs, in our communities, in the church, wherever. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to.
Amen.
One of the things that I have to pray for, and y'all continue to pray. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm praying that myself. I'm not asking God to give me patience, no. I'm talking to myself that I'm going to be patient with others, even folks that still think they're holy when they don't do nothing. All they do is talk. You know, they don't.
Mm.
I have to be patient with them, and I am, but I'm not going to put them in a position of responsibility because they're irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, the word says the wheat and tares grow together, and he'll be separated.
Amen. That's right. So I just got to be patient with folks. Sooner or later, they either will fess up and ask for forgiveness, or they will say, well, I got to go somewhere else because I can't stand the fire. It's too warm up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Get out the kitchen.
It's gonna rock everybody's world. And see, after a while, let me share this with y'all. After a while, God's going to take the cover off of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he
will. Yes, that's true.
And we don't want
yes, he will.
To grow with us. We want
mm-hmm.
to grow with us.
And, Pastor, it looks like either we make them thirsty for what we have or either it makes them angry, you know?
Yeah.
They're either thirsty or they get angry.
But I just want folks to be blessed. I want folks to
be blessed. Yes.
And they can't be the blessing if they play the Lone Ranger. It really, they played the Lone Stranger because they strange.
Wow.
The Lone Stranger.
Don't quit your day job, Pastor.
I know. I could never really be a comedian, although we laugh at some of the things I do, because I'd be halfway through what I'm trying to do, and I can't get it out because I'm laughing myself.
You understand. You understand. Good.
But boy, I come up with stuff, The Lone Stranger. Oh, my goodness. I need to use that somewhere along the line.
Because you are strange if you are alone, because you're supposed to come together.
I know. That's against the word.
Arn sharp as iron.
Yeah. The Lone Stranger.
And I think the more we stand on the word, the more we reflect God's blessings, the more his reflection is going to draw people to him.
Yes.
When they see how prosperous we are, see how blessed we are, and they wonder, like, wow, like, what's going on? It's the blessings of the Lord. And we stand on the word. And then we're able to say the word with them, it's going to draw them.
Mm-hmm. And the love that's shown.
And
you can't hide your love.
And see, when we
share
the fruit of the Spirit with them, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, that's showing love. That, all of that is love.
Yes, it is.
That's all of
it is.
And we show that. Sometimes it's difficult. Because you up there pushing the cart and you sweating that. You got what they call diaphoresis, that profuse perspiration. You sweating and your joints are aching because you know there's not a whole lot of pushing the cart. And folks sitting back there, oh, I'm supporting you, I'm with you, and they ain't got their shoulder to the wheel. You know, it kind of makes you feel something, but then you say, but the love of God constrains me to love him anyhow. That's why I say stuff. Y'all, I know you do. You pay attention to some of the strange things I say. I love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's love.
Yeah.
You can do the one thing that can talk about, man. You can put three knives and a machete in my back. And I say, I love you with the love of the Lord. I know, look, Stephen, in the middle, they throwing stones at him. And he said, he loved them folks. And he looked up and saw God.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. They stoning him. Jesus on the cross. They nailed him to the cross, hung him up. Boy, he paid with him.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he said out of mouth is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Not what they did. Amen.
What Christ did. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Lord Jesus.
And I need to say,
What a man.
And then at some point, they're still not doing it. But that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to love them anyway, whether they like it or not.
Come on, what kindness.
I thank God for the types of prayer. By the time he finished that, I know, look, if any of y'all want to go to YouTube, Neil Reyes, put in the 9 types of prayer, you'll get this, and you can go look at it, because it's a video, and he puts the scriptures on the screen and all that kind of stuff. Anytime. Day or night. Yes, you too.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Jesus is Lord. See, y'all.
You ain't getting no $5 through the phone. You ain't getting no money through the phone.
y'all are just for the Lord. Because I know y'all be sitting at somebody else's church, and somebody said, praise the Lord, and somebody hear you say, Jesus. Let me look at you. Say that. Plus, you practice because Pastor Peaches got it down pat.
Yes,
I listen to my husband.
She shot popcorn. She popcorn, I tell you. I'm but, all in the spirit. She popped up with the hands.
That's I mean, you know, because the enemy, you know, he wants to put others up as the Lord, you know. But Jesus is Lord. He let him yell in it.
Amen.
But any other questions or comments about tonight's Bible study?
Well, I'm hearing this again, but it sounds like fresh meat. It just get gooder and gooder.
Amen, amen. And here's something else. The more you hear this, it seems like you get something else out of it. You may have heard it two or three times. I don't know. I've lost count how many times I've heard this teaching. Something just a little bit more out of it. Like I got the underneath, and I shared, I think I shared this morning about Mark 9:24, about I believe to help my unbelief.
Yes.
And that was interesting because I couldn't understand what that was about until I got deeper in the word. We believe in our heart. We know God is evil in our heart, but our mind. The doctor, why you got to immediately wash your mind with the word. That's why I gave you that. Philippians 4:8. And get that out of there quick. Think on things which are honest. You know the scripture. Hallelujah. You know where to find it. At least you got the address. And that's why I deal with addresses, y'all. Y'all have a hunger and thirst for the addresses, y'all. Because it's going
to
bail you out of situations. It's going to help somebody that don't have time for you to quote the whole scripture. You might say, just go to Philippians 4:8. And they can write that down real quick as they go down the hallway to their job. And then they look up.
Mm.
Oh, okay. But if you don't know the address, you say, well, the Bible, they're gone. You didn't have time to quote the whole scripture. But if you give them the address, they can go find it for themselves. Is that all right?
Amen. That's true.
y'all gonna get me. And you know, I thank God every now and then I throw a new word out on you. Ambivalent. Hallelujah. I threw that this morning, didn't I? Did I spell that to y'all this morning? I didn't spell it, did I? Ambivalent. I mean, mixed or contradictory, either a person or something. And that's what the enemy wants you to think, that it's contradictory, that it's sitting up in your mind. It's too, no, one's in your heart. That's in your heart. What's in your heart and what's in your mind may be two different things. God in your heart, capable.
Can you spell that one more time?
Yes, go ahead.
Could you spell it for us one more time?
Oh, I'm sorry. A-M, as in Murray, B as B as in Bird, I, V, V as in Victor, A, L-E-N-T, ambivalent.
Okay.
How do you deal with that? You take a word bath, a word shower. Get that stuff out of your mind. Because you know God is able. And see, that's
yes,
why.
Yes, he is.
Because we know the history of the Israelites. We know our families. We know miracles are happening in our families. And our friends, we know the miracle. You know God is capable. That's in your heart. You know he's capable. But you got your heart. You just need to get your head right. And don't.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness.
And that becomes easier and easier if you amongst the right setting, I should say. If you're studying, if you're putting the word before you, if you got like friends that are word-based friends, it's easier to keep your mind stayed on the Lord and positive thinking, so you can attract positive things to your life versus you here and there and everything somewhere. Then you're liable to come up with anything.
See, you messing around with the people you
Says you can't get an offer?
Death to you. The people you hang around minister life or death to you.
It's a life or death.
That's right. That's right.
The average of the five people we hang around. So you got hang around some powerful people. You got some folk on a job that ain't holy, but hang around some other powerful people so you can be the average, and so you can get your average up. But you're the average of
that's
the five
right.
hang around. So you
hallelujah.
Hang you right, our prophet Cynthia, you know, hallelujah, you gotta hang around some strong folk. And I'm gonna tell y'all, y'all keep on flowing.
It's Lorraine.
It's Lorraine, not Cynthia. you said Prophet Cynthia. You mean Prophet Lorraine.
Oh, that was
no, it's Sandra Zama. So y'all done turned into a prophet.
Girl, I tell you, we messing up everything. or either promoting. We're promoting.
Well, at least my thoughts was right anyway.
That's right.
But I'm
saying, like, you trying to get an offer. I thought you.
You have to know who you're connecting with. You know,
that's true.
You can't be amongst everybody.
So true.
It's a poison your spirit, you know.
That's right. That's right. So true.
You hang around there long enough, you see your anointing done decreased. Wrong place, doing the wrong stuff.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be transparent just a little bit. I hung around the wrong people many years ago. I was making, look, you go back 50 years, and I was making $20,000 a year. 50 years ago, that was a whole lot of money. I might be about $80,000 now. I don't know. Time, people I was hanging around finished with me. I was unemployed and on welfare. Because I had a whole bunch of children. The people you hang around minister life or death to you.
That's right.
You're the average of the five people you hang around. So make sure look, if you got some negative folk on your job, make sure you got at least three more powerful people in the Holy Ghost hanging around them at other times, so you get your average up. Hallelujah. It's time to go. Any questions?
Amen.
Any questions or comments before we close tonight?
We did good.
We thank God for Bible study. We thank God for either on the call. People who haven't said anything, but they on the call. We know they on the call.
Yeah.
It's the number.
God bless them.
So we thank God we claim the lives in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We claim hallelujah, the seven pillars of wisdom in their life. Hallelujah, glory to God. The five levels of knowledge in their life and the three keys to the seven pillars of wisdom. We claim all of that in their life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor Peter, do you have anything last to say?
Sir, God bless everybody for being on tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. We want to tell you that on this coming Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we're praying for my cousin, Dr. Audrey Bird at Doswell Cathedral, which is 520 Doswell Avenue, from 4 to 7. And the homegoing service is, the wake is at 10 a.m. on Friday, and the funeral starts at 10:30, and the repast is going to be at the church as well, immediately following the internment. So God bless you all with the prayers and all. We thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, you kept your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Open up our ears and our eyes of our understanding and increase our faith. We thank you, Lord, for the word that was shared, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you're building precept upon precept and line upon line. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you're blessing every family represented, every person on the call and every family represented. We thank you, Lord, for your prosperity, spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial prosperity upon each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We continue to bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Eat a few hours. Sweet sleep.
God loves you. We love you too. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Power on.
Thanks. Love you too.
Bluetooth connected.
Anointed One, Jesus,
in Jesus.
See you.